The first lesson is from 1 Kings chapter 3. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I should give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant, my father David, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne today. And now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. Although I am only a little child, I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of the people whom you have chosen, a great people, so numerous they cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil. For who can govern this, your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. God said to him, "Because you have asked this, and have not asked for yourself long life or riches, or for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, I now do according to your word. Indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been before you, and no one like you shall arise after you." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We read responsively the verses of Psalm 119. Piano side reads the light print, courtyard side reads the bold print.
"Your decrees are wonderful, therefore I obey them with all my heart. When your word is opened, it gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant because I long for your commandments. Turn to me and be gracious to me, as you always do to those who love your name. Order my footsteps in your word, that no iniquity have dominion over me. Rescue me from those who oppress me, and I will keep your commandments. Let your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. My eyes shed streams of tears, because people do not keep your teaching."
The second lesson is from Romans chapter 8. The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not pray as we ought, we do not know how, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own Son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charges against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Jesus Christ who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, "For your sake, we are being killed all day long. We are counted as sheep to be slaughtered." No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor thing present, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus put before the crowds another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous, and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I invite the children to come forward. Good morning, everyone. Have you ever been separated from someone who you love? Yeah?
Cameron.
Yeah? When were you separated from Cameron?
Went to Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll talk about that in a bit. Cameron and I talked about that just before we started the service, too. How about over here on this side? Are you separated from people you love? Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
How about you? You said yes. You must have at some point. Well, I'm thinking especially of the two of you right now, as we just talked about, Cameron spent a week away this summer. He went with Papa, he went with his grandfather to Chicago, and he did some amazing and fun stuff. But Cameron, was that maybe just a little too long for your liking? Yeah. What happens? After a while, you kind of start to wonder if you're ever trying to get home, be back to people you love.
I feel really, really long, especially since I had this plan my other night because the last wedding was canceled. Mm-hmm. I just stayed on
my own. Yeah, that time of separation only got longer because of those darn fairies. So it was really hard. You do start to wonder after a while if you're ever going to be back with those whom you love. Liana, on the other hand, she's going off to Camp Luther Haven here in a couple weeks.
And I let her sleep, read on for a whole week, and I think Mom and I are concerned about the separation more than you are right now.
I mean, also at UTBS, I meet you.
Yeah, you can see me for over a week and you think it's more explosive.
And, like, all those times
we
went to different states.
And I was gone in another state. Pretty
easy.
They make you think of something?
Well, we're
going to
get
some
again in, like, 1 or 2 weeks.
Okay. Is it a
sleepaway
camp?
No. We all come back
at
4:00,
around 12
p.m.
Okay. So this part of the day, kind of graduating into that. It's hard when we're separated from the ones we love. And Paul talks about that in a letter that I read a portion of this morning. And it encourages us to remember that it's not forever. Sometimes we worry we might even be separated from the love of God. And Paul tells us, no, nothing. There is nothing at all that can separate us from God's love. And that's good news for every one of us. Will you pray with me this morning? God, we thank you for your presence in our lives, for your love for all of us. Help us when we doubt it. Remind us that you are here, that you are present for us, and that you are our companion always in this life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You may return to your seats.
UFOs are real. Depending upon which corner of the media sphere you may have been spending this weekend, you may or may not have come across the supermarket tabloid-sounding headlines. Or so former defense officials in the U.S. and Canada are telling Congress and anyone else who will listen. And I don't really believe that the aliens are coming around for a visit, but I recognize that I could be wrong. And in that case, I would want to share a very simple message with them. Now is not a good time. We aren't really at our best right now as a planet. You may want to try us back in a couple, few, several, maybe very, very many years. Well, we get some things sorted out. It's been a rough patch for quite some time now. We can almost all agree. Humans, as a species, we don't really have our act together very well. We kind of run things around here when we're really pretty bad at it. We have some really nasty habits around polluting and degrading our own environment. We're getting a bit hot under the collar, apt to take it out on each other and anyone or anything else that gets caught in the crossfire. We are our own worst enemy. We've been like this off and on, mostly on, for quite some time now. Long ago, one of our better thinkers, a guy named Paul, who was wise enough to know he had gotten a lot wrong, he wrote a letter to a group of like-minded folks who also realized they'd gotten themselves in quite a predicament. And they couldn't even figure out how to talk about it to the one who created us all. Your green or gray, presumably as I've heard, selves included. Now, being of an obviously higher level of intelligence to have gotten here, I'm sure you could give us some really helpful insights about the wider created universe and the creator themselves. But we don't take really very kindly to being told what to do, even when it's the best thing to do. So we're going to have to ask you to hold back on that too. If you start now, it's very unlikely to end well. Now, the old wizened Paul assured us that our Creator, whom we have taken to calling God knows we are weak and has a spirit that helps us when we don't have the words, sighing deeply beyond words. I don't know quite how that sounds, but I'm pretty sure it's something of an amplified version of Paul told us it was all going to be okay. God's got this. God knows all that God created, and in the end, all is good. But we are a funny creation. And not always funny, haha, but sometimes more funny, like, that kind of funny. We held on to this long ago letter because it had powerful insight for us, and because we wanted to believe it. And we will even swear up and down that we do believe it. But we very often don't act like it. God is on our side, really rooting for us, it is written. Gave up his own flesh and blood for us. And will not be limited in the lengths taken to save us from ourselves. And yet we act out of a fear and insecurity that this is not true. That the only way to rise above the mess that we have created is to put others down. Even as we assured time and again, it's not our place. It's not necessary, and it will in fact cause more harm than good. We do not trust that the love of God is really all that powerful. We dismiss it as sentimental and symbolic, rather than accept it and be awed by how fierce and transcendent it really is. We treat God's love as if it were something impossible, or nearly impossible to attain, or we're not worthy. The only chance that we have at it is to convince God others are even less worthy. And so you've got to pick someone up from the top of the scrap heap. Or we go along about our business as if this unconditional divine love were a lie. And any one of a million terms and conditions in fine print we will never have the time to read or understand will render null and void our access to it. You see, there are a lot of problems out there, but the biggest one might be that we have somehow collectively decided that there are not enough of these problems. So we endeavor to create more. We're actually really quite good at that. So please, if you would, give us some time. Time to... Well, we have always been told if you're dropping by the neighborhood and you mean well, you will say to us, "We come in peace." The alternative is you're even worse than we are about wrecking your own stuff. And you've come here for the air, the water, the precious metals, all that great stuff that we fight amongst ourselves for. See, Paul's gracious letter told us nothing. Effectively, nothing we could imagine can ultimately separate us from God's love. Not even what we tend to think is the really great stuff, like having the most fun, the most toys, relative comfort, or a really impressive office, diversions and distractions like that. So zap us with a really cool death ray, if you must. But give us time, I ask. Time to... Because I want to believe.